You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Jets podcast. It is Christmas Eve, December 24th, 2018. I'm your host, John B. from gangrenenation.com. If you enjoy this show, subscribe to it on iTunes or Spotify, and please leave the show a good review in iTunes if you do enjoy it. We are here recapping a Week 16 defeat as the Jets fall to the Green Bay Packers in overtime. Green Bay comes back from big deficits throughout the game, and they pull off an overtime victory, a 44-38 win. A game that fittingly fell on Festivus because the Jets blew a late 15-point lead. The Jets were in control for most of the game and end up falling. And, you know, it's one of the things that been the topic of debate for this fan base is whether it's better for this team to win games and try and build some positive feelings, build a little momentum heading into the offseason, or whether it's lose games to improve its draft positioning. And, you know, I've kind of been agnostic. I haven't really taken a position on this, but the last 2 weeks have really kind of spoken to me. And I've been really bummed out that the Jets have lost these games the last 2 weeks. I've been really into these games when I've been watching them. And you know something, I don't know how much winning these games ultimately would have meant for the Jets long term, but I really feel like the Jets have squandered an opportunity to kind of be one of the teams heading into next season, because if the Jets had won these games the last 2 weeks, they would have the quarterback playing great, the young quarterback seeming like things are clicking for him. You'd have, you know, obviously a new coach would be coming in. You'd have probably some big flashy free agents. The Jets would be one of the hot teams heading into next season. There would be a lot of good feelings around this team heading into the offseason, and the Jets have wasted that opportunity by blowing these last two games. And, you know, I don't know, again, like sometimes that doesn't pan out. Like San Francisco this year, the quarterback gets hurt, they have some other problems. So, you know, it doesn't always pan out that the hot team at the end of the last season with the, you know, the quarterback who looks like the next great thing, doesn't always pan out for them heading into the next year. But Jets have squandered that opportunity. And, you know, I'm not sure, again, like you can argue maybe that's not worth much, but I also don't think that, you know, improving your draft position by a pick or two is worth a whole lot either, especially in a year where you're not looking for a quarterback. So I think in my book, this was a very disappointing loss. It was a game that was there to be won for the Jets. It was a game that they controlled for the most part, and it was a game where, again, they got a very good performance by the quarterback. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But, you know, I'm going to start off just by drawing a parallel. And this is, it's incredible, because the last time the Jets played the Green Bay Packers, it was 2014. It was week two in Lambeau Field. And in that game, the Jets blew a big lead, but they did not just blow a big lead. One of their star defensive linemen got kicked out of a game. Got kicked out of the game for taking a swing at somebody. That was Muhammad Wilkerson back then, and Leonard Williams does it this time. And Williams was off to a good start in this game. He was playing pretty well, I thought. And then, you know, he gets himself kicked out of the game. Inexcusable. You know, this is, I can't get over this. This guy, and he was, again, he had such a disappointing year. He's having a good, finally putting together a decent stretch now, and he goes and does that. He gets himself kicked out of the game. And all I could think about in the fourth quarter and overtime is this defense is totally gassed, and Green Bay's on a roll. Rodgers is, you know, making plays left and right. Is the guy who's supposed to be the best player on this team, guy who's supposed to be the best player on this defense, isn't on the field because he has to throw a punch, be selfish. And great, look, I'll say this for him, he did the apology. He was contrite in the post-game press conference, which is more than you can say for some of the other guys who stunk it up yesterday. But just infuriating. It's just infuriating. And you know something? That's not, you can blame the coaches all you want for a lot of this stuff, but the players need to execute. And you want to talk about the players needing to execute. What's wrong with this secondary? You know, this secondary, all I heard for the offseason was how great they're going to be. You know something? You want to talk, go ahead and back it up. Go ahead and back it up. Go ahead and stink it up. And then leave, like Trumaine Johnson, Mr. Accountability, walking out without talking to the press yesterday. I mean, great signing. It's Christmas. I should be happy. But it's just so infuriating to watch these guys. You know, these guys are so impressed with themselves before the season. That's what annoys me, is how much I had to hear these guys talk about how great they were going to be. You go ahead and stink it up like Trumaine Johnson. Blow the game. Blow a cover, you know, commit a key penalty. Trumaine Johnson can't even execute a cover three scheme yesterday. I mean, one of the Green Bay touchdowns was a busting coverage. It sure looked like it was a cover. And maybe I'm wrong. I'm not in the locker room. I don't know what the coverage. I don't know what the play call is. But Jets run their fair share of cover three. Looked like it was a cover three coverage where Johnson just busted it because he couldn't read the route combination. And you know, Jamal Adams actually ended up being the closest guy in the area. I think Adams was trying to cover for him. But I'm just, I mean, how much money is this guy making? Like, he can't even do anything. And this guy goes out there and just stinks on a weekly base. Great, hallelujah. He had two interceptions a couple weeks ago against Buffalo, against a bad, you know, bad offense. That's the guy's crowning achievement. And he can't even speak to the press. Mr. Accountability. You can't even speak to the press after the game. You commit a huge penalty in this game. It's just Claiborne. You know, Claiborne's really fallen off, and that's just Claiborne. You know, Claiborne, that's what he is. He's a guy who's going to give you a great first half of the season, and then the second half's not going to be that good. And that's what it was for Dallas 2 years ago. He was hurt in the second half. Last year was this very similar story with the Jets, where it gets off to a really good start, doesn't finish. And this year, once again, you know, second straight week, burned for the game-losing touchdown. And, you know, the frustrating thing about this, more than anything, is the fact that it shows you how far away this team is from really being able to make some noise in this league, because they have the quarterback, and we'll talk about the second segment will be a little happier because we'll talk about the quarterback. We'll talk about some of the positive developments from this game. But what frustrates me about this game, as much as anything, is just the fact that the defense is supposed to be the unit with pieces on it. It's supposed to be the unit that's built. And that's what you got. Yeah, you got torched. And yeah, Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams is a good receiver. They don't have a whole lot else. And this unit went out there and got just shredded. And this is supposed to be the unit that's got the pieces in place. That's supposed to be the unit with players. And, you know, as much as you can talk about, look, everybody knows the coaches should be gone. Everybody knows the coaches have done a lousy job this year. But you know something, the big name players need to execute. The big name players can't be in the locker room because they're throwing punches because they're so selfish. Big name players have to be able to execute plays at the end. At some point, you know, you can't give up the unit with players can't give up 45. I don't care what the coaching is, that unit can't go out there and stink like that. And that's the reason the Jets lost this game.
Whether you're an expert or a rookie, MyBookie allows you to create a big parlay. Pick three teams to win, and if you hit on all three, you could turn $100 into $600. College basketball, college football, NBA, NHL, custom props, even esports, you name it. Sign up this week, and MyBookie will give you a 50% deposit bonus to jumpstart your bankroll. Also, make sure to follow @BetMyBookie on Twitter. They personally respond to every mention in DM, not to mention they've given away more than $10,000 in free money to their followers this football season. You'll be the first to know as soon as new odds and props are posted. Don't miss out on one of the best weeks this year in sports. Log on to MyBookie right now and use promo code LOCKEDON and to get 50% off your deposit bonus. That's promo code LOCKEDON. You play, you win, you get paid.
You know, for a bad team, it amazes me how annoyed I still get with the Jets losing a game like that, you know, in the lost season. I really didn't. You don't think you care that much until they go out and lose games like this. But if we're going to talk positives, I think pretty clear. There's some pretty clear candidates in this game, and you know, we've talked about the importance of Sam Darnold, about how that the last few weeks of the season are really about Sam. How does he look? So I guess maybe I shouldn't be as annoyed, because maybe wins and losses aren't as important. I guess I always say I don't really care about wins and losses, and then you get to the game. I actually do. But I think, again, a very good performance by Sam Darnold. You know, and I think the three games since he returned from injury, and three positive games of varying degrees. You know, I don't think the Buffalo game, he had the comeback in the Buffalo game. He had the game-winning drive in the Buffalo game. I don't think the Buffalo game was of the caliber of the last two. I think the last two games have been much better. But ultimately, since he returned from injury, three games where you left with a positive feeling about his play, with a positive view of his play. So that's an excellent development for the Jets. You know, as we entered these last four games of the season, this final month of the year, I said that, you know, I'm just looking for some nuggets that will make me feel good about Sam heading into the offseason, just something that I can hang my hat. And you've gotten more than that. You've gotten just stellar play the last 2 weeks, where it really feels like things are starting to click for him, which is what you want in December for a rookie quarterback. You want to feel like he's starting to understand concept, really understand what he can do in the NFL. And, you know, the numbers were superb in this game. I think the numbers, you know, numbers don't always tell the story of performance. They don't always tell the story of quality, but I would argue in this game, it probably did. Sam was 24 for 35, 341 yards, three touchdowns, no interceptions. So, again, you want to feel the frustration of that first segment out of me now. I feel good about Sam's performance. That's something that leaves me feeling very positive. You know, you look, again, Robbie Anderson, a second straight week where he's playing. It's not just the numbers. It's what he's doing where he's making plays that aren't deep balls where, you know, and I don't, it's, but look, it's been a disappointing year for Robbie Anderson, but he has 9 catches, 140 yards in this game. And again, he's not just doing it on the deep ball. Now, the one touchdown was kind of a busted coverage. We'll talk about that a little bit later, but you know, you're at least starting to, and I always say, like, you know, 1 week doesn't really make a difference for me. And even 2 weeks is not huge deal, but you start to do something 2 weeks in a row, I'm gonna notice. 1 week can be a fluke, and 2 weeks can be a fluke too, but 2 weeks is at least potentially the start of something. So let's see if he can, you know, try and finish what's been really a lost season for him strong. And you know, I really feel like the chemistry is growing between Sam and Robbie Anderson. And you know, it was funny because back in training camp, I mean, I watched them even in practice. It looked like they were not on the same page when I visited the Jets training camp, and you could see it in the preseason games. And what was really amazing was the fact that Robbie was there the whole training camp, and just he and Sam did not seem like they were on the same page. And Inunua missed a bunch of training camp, and Inunua comes in, and he and Sam look like old friends. It looked like they look like they were totally on the same page. Well, it seems like over the course of the year, Sam and Robbie have kind of figured out a connection. So we'll see what happens heading into next year. I think the no-brainer of no-brainers for the Jets is going to be giving Robbie, he's a restricted free agent, so which means the Jets can give him a 1-year contract offer and essentially retain his rights unless another team wants to give up a high draft pick, which probably won't happen. So, you know, they can bring him back relatively cheap next year and see what happens, and, you know, see if these two can really start to click and maybe have a receiver for the long term. I mean, I think we've learned this year Robbie's probably not a number one receiver, and he may not be a number two receiver, but he is a player in the NFL. And the other guy who continues to just impress is Chris Herndon, who pulls in another 6 catches, 82 yards, and a touchdown. You know, really one of the few success stories of recent Jets draft history, it feels like. You know, he just keeps getting better as the season goes along. And this is another guy who's going to be part of the mix for Sam. And, you know, Jets do not have a lot of pieces on offense right now. They don't have a lot of pieces that I think are going to be around for the long haul. You know, I look at who their third leading receiver was in this game. That was Jermaine Kearse, 4 catches for 55 yards. He's obviously not going to be a piece for the future. So, you know, there are not many, the Jets have not done a great job surrounding Sam with the right pieces just yet. But, you know, Herndon is looking more and more like a player, like a guy who's going to be a contributor for this team for a long time from the tight end position. I don't want to jinx him too much because I know it's just his rookie year. But again, another really good performance by Herndon. So I was impressed by what he's done. And look, I mean, I think everybody's been impressed by what he's doing this season. If there are two people you can't expect a lot from, they're rookie tight ends because the position's so hard to master. You have to remember they're blocking, they're receiving, they have to learn the tight end routes, they have to learn the routes when they line up out wide, but also mid-round picks, especially a mid-round pick coming off a serious injury the way Herndon was. So, you know, excellent job by Herndon. And, you know, so the Jets have some good pieces. And then Andre Roberts, who just continues to be stellar. I mean, really, just an unbelievable year. And, you know, I was watching it, that touchdown he returned. I actually did not think it was really – I thought that was more the blocking than Roberts. You know, it took me back to I think the special teams coach is probably getting a little too much credit for what's going on this year, just as he was probably taking a little too much blame for what was going on in years past. But – that return kind of took me back to the Mike Westhoff days where it was blocked so well. And it reminded me back, if you remember Mike Westhoff, back when he was the special teams coach with the Jets, just kept having like return men who like led, either led the league in average or were near the top of the league in average, and then they'd lose the guy, and then somebody else would come in. It was all the blocking that – it was really a lot of – mainly the blocking that the Jets put together, and that's what that reminded me of. That was just a beautifully blocked play, but you know, Roberts had a couple big – he had a huge return late in the fourth quarter that set up – right after Green Bay took the lead, that set the Jets up, and then Sam, again, you know, impressive, last minute drives the team into field goal range, and the Jets kick a field goal and get the game to overtime. And, you know, if the coin toss had gone a little differently the way Sam was playing, maybe things would have been, you know, maybe the outcome would have been different. But again, you know, Roberts is another guy who played very well in this game. And we'll talk a little bit about coaching as we close out the show, recapping Jets-Packers Week 16. The Jets lose once again to the Green Bay Packers. They fall 45-38 in overtime yesterday at MetLife Stadium. We're recapping the game. And, you know, I wanted to finish a little bit by talking about coaching. There were some good things and some bad things from this game as far as coaching calls went. You know, I think a lot of the frustration, which is understandable, will be at the team blowing a big lead, especially a big lead in the fourth quarter, and some of the penalties. Although some of the penalties were just corners not doing their job. That's, I mean, some of these penalties were not on coaching, but, you know, I think at the end of the day, the coaching staff will take a big hit, and it's not unjustified. There were some good things, though. There were some things that I liked. The fake punt, which, you know, I was watching this game with my uncle. I went to my uncle's house for this game. My uncle, aunt, and cousin, we were watching the game. My uncle called out the fake punt before they hit it, which was a good gutsy call. And I was watching that, and I'm like, in that situation, the Jets are trying to run out the clock. I'm like, come on, you're 4-10. Go for it. And I was kind of annoyed. I was thinking typical Bulls being conservative. And then they fake a punt, and they hit. They connect. They get a first down. I'm like, okay, good call. I like that. You know, the other thing was, I've complained all year about Jeremy Bates not designing plays to make it easier for players to execute based on the way it was drawn up. You know, nobody's being schemed open. I mean, that was probably the best he's done all year about scheming guys open. I mean, the two touchdowns that you could look at that had something to do with scheme, the kind of the fake screen that sprung Anderson wide open deep, and then the play where they had then Cannon going into motion that got the defense flowing one way, and McGuire was able to take it in for a score. So, you know, there were a couple examples of the Jets scheming guys open. So, you know, it was too little too late, certainly, for this season, but a good job by Bates. But, you know, the one sequence I think about coaching, everybody talks about coaching, you know, lots of talk about coaching, but there's one sequence in the game that I think I had a big issue with the coaching staff. And again, it was very similar to a couple weeks ago in Tennessee, and that's the 4-minute offense. And if you're not familiar with that term, essentially what the 4-minute offense is when you have the lead with less than 4 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, you're calling plays, you're trying to run the clock out. So that's what your scheme is. So that means you're going to run the ball a lot. You're going to have a lot. If you're going to pass it, it's usually going to be a pretty safe pass, like a screen or something like that. You know, you're going to try and keep the ball away from the sideline, keep it in the middle of the field so nobody runs out of bounds. And, you know, right after that fake punt, I really did not like what the Jets did. And I think that ended up being costly. And the way the Jets played it was almost told you that they would prefer the ball be in Aaron Rodgers' hands at the end of the game than Sam Darnold's hands. And I think that was a rather big mistake. They made the fake punt, and then they called. Then Elijah McGuire got stopped for a loss. They called a face mask, and the Jets moved up 15 yards. On the next play, they called an end-around to Andre Roberts, which I actually kind of liked. I liked that call because, again, 4-minute offense, usually the ball's going to the middle of the field, so the defense is going to be congested in the middle of the field. So you get the ball to Roberts, maybe outside. And what I like about I also like the fact that you're doing it, you're giving the ball to a veteran. You give it the ball to a rookie running outside, he's liable to run out of bounds. They gave the ball to a veteran, so I like that. But there was a penalty called on Brian Winters. Not a great shock. So the Jets have 1st and 20. They give the ball to Elijah McGuire for a 3-yard loss. All right. 2nd and 23. The Jets run the ball, McGuire 4 yards. And then they run a screen, which, I mean, I think at 2nd and 23, you're in a situation where you have to try. I mean, you have to try and get this first down. You don't want the ball to go back into Rodgers' hands. Sam's hot. Sam's playing really well. If you run the ball there, you know you're looking at 3rd and long. And that's what would happen. They gained 4 yards, and it ended up 3rd and 19, where you have no shot of picking it up. So on that 2nd down play, you have to attack. You have to try and get, you know, 10, 15 yards back. You have to try and do that, because then you have a reasonable shot on 3rd down. And if the Jets were probably like one 1st down away from really, maybe two, but one first down away from winning the game. And it was frustrating that they just kind of were so willing to give the ball up. They were so willing to just punt the ball and play defense. They did not call plays with the intent of picking up a first down. And look, when you're in the 4-minute offense and you're first and 10, I understand being a little more conservative because you can get 10 yards over three plays. But when you end up first and 20, that's where you have to be. And even then, I can understand running first down. But when you're second 23, the 4-minute offense goes out the window because you just can't, you're not going to get 23 yards in two plays playing conservatively. In that situation, the better chance for the Jets to win this game was to pick up that first down, to be aggressive, just throw the 4-minute offense in the garbage for the time being and throw the ball twice. Throw the ball twice, you know, take a shot. And Sam, you look, you're not in a game where it would be different if Sam wasn't playing. Well, if you have a struggling rookie quarterback, if Sam looks as jittery as he did against Cleveland or Jacksonville, but you had a quarterback who was in the zone and you didn't trust him to go out there and win the game. And look, the odds are against you second and 23. I can't say that definitively lost the Jets the game because odds are against it. Even if they throw the ball, it's a tough spot to pick things up. It's going to be tough to pick up that first down, but you have to give them a chance and they ended up paying for it. Anyway, that's all for our show today. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to iTunes or Spotify. We'll leave the show a good review in iTunes. As you can probably guess, it's Christmas week, so our schedule is going to be a little more sporadic. We'll have no show tomorrow for Christmas Day, but tune in later in the week as we'll continue to talk more Jets as the Jets wind down their 2018 season.